Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, Internet world. Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. My name is Randy L. Noble, and I'm so happy that you've taken time out of your busy life to join me together today on my podcast. Today is Monday, June the 12th, 2023. I want to begin the program today with a very unusual, strange story, but I think we all know who's behind the death of this young former police person in Iran. And this is from the Center for Human Rights in Iran. Quote, Iranian activists are expressing concerns following the sudden death of Mansouri Zaghvand. She's a young female volunteer police force member in the city of Abdanan in Iran's Ilam province on June 5th. Her case has garnered significant attention due to her resignation from the force and her public support for the persecuted Woman Life Freedom protest movement that's going on in the country of Iran. Now, in her post on her Instagram account, Zaghvand had publicly declared her solidarity with her fellow countrymen and stated that she would no longer cooperate with the armed forces despite her previous role as an honorary member of the Qomondad police force. While Iranian authorities have attributed Zaghvand's death to cardiac arrest, activist sources have raised doubts about this claim, citing statements allegedly made by Zaghvand to her family expressing fear of potential harm following her public resignation. Iranian authorities, well, you remember this story, they also claimed that Gina Mahsa Amini, back in September, a 23-year-old woman who sparked the Woman Life Freedom protest, that she also died of cardiac arrest while in state custody in September 2022. Now, I don't think it takes a rocket scientist to deduce that this beautiful young Iranian woman, she was a volunteer, and at some point in just observing everything, she just said, I had enough of this. This is wrong. I'm going to side with the protesters, the Woman Life and Freedom protesters. Well, obviously, she had been monitored, and the security forces said, oh, no, you can't get away with that. You're not going to side with them. You're a traitor, basically. I'm paraphrasing. And so they now decide, well, if she's going to die, we got to say it was a heart attack. Really? You look at this woman, and she couldn't be over 21, 22 years of age. But that's the same thing they said of Mahsa Amini. And the rest, well, it's history. Today on the broadcast, I want to feature a dear friend. Her name is Marzia Amirzadeh. You know her. Her and Miriam Rostampour were prisoners in Evin prison back in 2009. They were put on death row for distributing Bibles in Tehran. Well, God miraculously intervened in their situation, and they were both released almost a year later. Now, Marzia and Miriam came here to the States. They've been living in Georgia. And Marzia, of course, with her friend Miriam, wrote the groundbreaking book, Captive in Iran. Recently, Marzia wrote another book about her early life in Iran when she became a Christian. It's called My Love Journey with God. She was running for state representative last year in the state of Georgia. Well, recently, Marzia had her dream come true. She went to Israel, always wanted to go there. And she had a lot of media coverage. She talked to a lot of people. There was a lot of interviews. She got to meet Joel Rosenberg, the famous Christian author, and many others. And while she was there, she was interviewed by a Iranian journalist. And I wanted to feature this short interview. It's 9 minutes long, but she says so many really good things in this interview. She is such a wonderful representative of Jesus. I want you to hear Marzia Amirzadeh right now on the cross in the desert.
Welcome back. Now, hopes that Iran was preparing to soften its stance on compulsory hijab were stamped out this week when President Raisi said the law would be strictly enforced. It follows months of anti-regime protests and a brutal response by security forces. Hundreds of people have been killed. Several young men were executed. Others are still on death row, and many thousands of Iranians are languishing in jail. Well, my next guest was jailed in Tehran's notorious Evin prison for several months back in 2009. Her crime? Being a Christian. Marzia Amirzadeh is here with me in the studio to talk about her experiences. Thank you very much indeed for being with us. And first of all, welcome to Israel, because I know it is your first time here. And I know as well it's always been a dream of yours to come here and visit the holy sites. What has been your experience so far?
Yeah, as you mentioned, it was a dream for many years because I'm a Christian. And Israel is so precious to me as a Christian, because Jesus was a Jew, and this is the land of many great prophets of our Bible. And God loves Israel and Israeli people because they are chosen people by God. And I really wanted to visit this land. And finally, I got to visit Jerusalem.
Lots of people say they have a special feeling when they come here, especially people who have strong religious beliefs. Is that your experience? You told me you've already been to Jerusalem.
Yeah, it was in this early morning that I arrived, and immediately I visited Jerusalem. And I, as soon as my airplane landed, my tears come down because, you know, it's very spiritual and special to me, this great country.
Oh, that's wonderful to hear. And you've been living in the United States for many years now?
For almost 11 years.
You're clearly enjoying life today. It's wonderful to see. If I could take you back to 2009, a horrific experience. You were jailed in Evin prison, as I mentioned. Can you tell us what happened? What led to you being there?
Yeah, more than 20 years ago, I converted to Christianity. A lot of miracles happened, and I gave my heart to Jesus. And I was very active as a Christian, talking about my faith with people. And because of those activities, they arrested us. But the main issue was our faith in Jesus. The main charges was apostasy, which is punishable by death under Sharia law. And I was sentenced to death by hanging.
You were sentenced to death? And what happened?
Because of, you know, lots of international pressures, like Amnesty International got involved, Pope from Vatican sent a letter to government on behalf of me and my friend who were together. And many Christians started advocating for us. They protested again in front of our embassy in UK. And because of all those pressures, they had to release us. Otherwise, I wouldn't be alive. That's why I believe international pressures is very important.
Well, thank goodness that you're here to tell the tale today. What is the status for Christians in Iran then? Because it is a recognized religion, right?
A Christianity?
Yes.
if they are minorities, and they consider Christians and other religious minorities as second-class citizens. It's not just Christians, Baha'is, Jews, everyone getting persecuted because of their faith.
Do you think the persecution is worse right now, given the ongoing situation with the protests?
Yeah, because, you know, they arrested many people, and they charged them with political charges, because they know if they wanted to put them in prison and execute them, like, you know, my case, they know that there will be lots of international pressures. That's why they arrest them and put them in prison and charge them with spying and, you know, other political charges in order to keep them in prison for many years.
So a lot of innocent people languishing in Iranian jails right now. You were actually taken to the detention center that Mahsa Amini was taken to, the woman whose death sparked the current protest.
Yeah, that's a small detention center, but honestly, that's an underground dungeon. I was there for 14 days, and you can't see anything, and it's no one can see that place. There is no air, no light. They throw food at you, and I had to sleep on a cold concrete floor, cover myself with wet blankets that were soaked in urine. And later I understood why the blankets were soaked, because they locked the cells doors from 8 p.m. until 8 in the morning, so prisoners could not control themselves. The guards usually humiliate you by forcing you to be naked right in front of their eyes.
Male guards?
No, women guards. Mm. But I was thrown with other, you know, women like prostitutes and many women who got arrested by morality police. And they usually keep prisoners like maximum 3 days. And then the court would decide if they go to another prison or get released. But they kept me and my friend for 14 days intentionally in order to put more pressure on us. And the first judge told us, I will make sure you get executed. And he actually pushed the case for execution.
Goodness me. And I mean, you've gone really from the depths of hell, as you've described it there. You've gone on to write 2 books, Captive in Iran, your first book, and A Love Journey with God, a second book about your personal faith. You work in politics in the United States. You have a great life there now. You've really gone from one extreme to another.
Yeah. Yeah, I ran as a candidate for a state house last year. I couldn't win the election because my district was very Democratic. I ran as a Republican. But yeah, I'm involved in politics, and I also try to be a voice for Iranian people because of, you know, my experience. I experienced the brutality of the Iranian regime firsthand, and I can share a lot of things about, you know, what's happening in Iranian prisons. And coming to Israel, to me, I wanted to send the message of love, unity, and friendship to people and to the world that, you know, for many years the Iranian regime tried to undermine the great friendship between Iranian people, Iran, and the good people of Israel. And many people do not know about the history, and they cover the truth. And I want the world to know that this regime, people are chanting in the streets that this regime is not representative of people. And Iranian people, majority of Iranian people, do not have any issue with Israel and Israeli people. We love Israel, and especially as a Christian, I love Israel because God loves Israel.
Well, and that has been the message, actually, from the Israeli leadership over the years. We have no problem with the Iranian people. Our problem is with the Iranian regime. Do you think that people in Iran are aware of that support? Does it mean something to them?
I believe that the Great Awakening has started in Iran, because for many years the regime tried to indoctrinate kids by forcing them to go to demonstration and chanting "Death to Israel, Death to America." They try to demonize Israel to people, to tell the world that, you know, to tell them that Israel is an enemy of all Muslims and Palestinians. But this is not the truth, and I'm glad that people could see the truth. And if you listen to the protests and the slogans of people, people are saying that our true enemy is the regime, is you, not America and Israel. And that's a great awakening, that people refuse to set fire in the flags of America and Israel. They refuse to step on the flag, because people, ordinary people, honestly, have no problem with, you know, the rest of the world. It's just the regime, and they wanted to tell the world that this criminal regime is not our representative.
And just very briefly, do you think that the current protests can overthrow the regime?
Definitely. We have hope. And they know that majority of people do not support them. They try to survive, to, you know, to tell lies and use different ways to survive. But I think women of Iran are the big group are going to overthrow this regime, because they were the groups that were under so much pressure and women's rights violations. That's why when you look at the protests, you see that women are leading most of the protests in Iran.
The Iranian women are certainly leading the way, aren't they? Majieh Amirzadeh, it was wonderful to talk to you. Enjoy the rest of your trip to Israel.
So
thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
Marzieh Amirzadeh, just a wonderful, intelligent, beautiful Christian lady, an author, a voice for the Iranian people. She's just the kind of person that you want to sit down and talk to for hours and hours. Now, one of the programs that Marzieh appeared on while her trip to Israel this past spring was Joel Rosenberg, a fabulous Christian author who talks an awful lot about Bible prophecy. I want to feature Joel Rosenberg right now as he shares his heart about the upcoming Ezekiel 38 war. This is very, very eye-opening. Let's listen.
Bible prophecy is an intercept from the mind of the all-knowing, all-powerful, all-sovereign God of the universe. God doesn't tell us everything that he's going to do or that he's going to sovereignly allow Satan to do in all countries and all regions of the world at all times in history.
And he described that how he's going to punish those people and scatter.
The leadership. He's going to punish the leadership.
Yeah, and scatter, you know, people because of their sins. But at the end, he tells that he will set his throne in Elam.
And with blood, I will enter into judgment with him, that is, against the Russian dictator known as Gog. And I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone. And when it's all over, Ezekiel tells us that the devastation is so catastrophic that it will take 7 months to bury all of the bodies. Does the Bible really tell us that apocalyptic earthquakes, far more devastating than anything the world has ever seen before, are still ahead of us? Unfortunately, yes. One such prophecy is found in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel. The other is found in the New Testament, in the book of Revelation. Let's start with Ezekiel, chapters 38 and 39, where the Hebrew prophet describes an eschatological conflict known as the War of Gog and Magog. Ezekiel explains that in the last days, an evil dictator will rise to power in a region known in Bible times as Magog, and today known as the Russian Federation. This dictator forms a military and political alliance with Persia, the country we know today as Iran. Together, they recruit Turkey, Libya, Sudan, and a range of other countries into their alliance. Then, they order their military forces to surround, invade, and conquer the prophetically revived and reborn state of Israel. And yet, the Hebrew prophet Ezekiel, writing more than 2,500 years ago, does not describe the Israeli military as defending the country. Nor does Ezekiel describe other countries, including the United States, coming to Israel's defense. Instead, just as Israel is about to be swallowed whole by this Russian-Iranian alliance, Ezekiel tells us that the God of Israel moved supernaturally to judge and destroy Israel's enemies with the whole world watching. Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 18 through 20 indicate that on that day when Gog, this Russian dictator, comes against the land of Israel, the Lord God says, "My fury will mount up in my anger. In my zeal and in my blazing wrath, I declare that on that day there will surely be a great earthquake in the land of Israel. The fish of the sea and the birds of the heavens and the beasts of the field, all the creeping things that creep on the earth, and all the men who are on the face of the earth will shake at my presence. Now, the earthquake will be epicentered in Israel, but its shock waves, according to the text, will be felt around the world. And that's just the beginning of the judgment. I will call for a sword against him, against Gog, this Russian dictator, on all my mountains, declares the Lord God in Ezekiel chapter 38, verse 21. Every man's sword will be against his brother. In other words, as I sort of unpack in the book Epicenter, in this ensuing chaos, in the aftermath of the earthquake, the enemy forces will begin fighting each other. They'll turn on each other. Then, in verse 22, God says this, "With pestilence, with horrific diseases, and with blood, I will enter into judgment with him," that is, against the Russian dictator known as Gog, "and I will rain on him and on his troops and on the many peoples who are with him a torrential rain with hailstones, fire, and brimstone." And when it's all over, Ezekiel tells us that the devastation is so catastrophic that it will take 7 months to bury all of the bodies, and that it would take longer, but the birds of the air and the beasts of the field will eat most of the bodies of Israel's enemies.
That is Joel Rosenberg. It is an amazing prophecy. I've talked about this many times in the program. It's on my podcast list. The Ezekiel 38 war is coming. You see what's going on in Ukraine. That is a prelude. Putin's force is trying to destroy the Ukrainian people. This is just a foreshadow of what is going to come in the future. And there is no better person to unpack it than author, lecturer, and theologian Joel Rosenberg. Now you think about the future. What about Iran? In our latest book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, Heather and I had some very powerful prophetic words talking about the future of Iran. Also, the Bible predicts what will happen in the future with Iran. Every Sunday evening, my faithful prophetic friend Heather Joy and I meet to fervently pray for the nation of Iran. And during our time of prayer, God will sometimes give Heather and I a word of prophecy concerning the people of Iran. Now, before the completion of this book, Uprising, God was faithful to give me a special word of exhortation and prophecy about the future of Iran. This is a prophetic word meant to encourage and exhort Iranians, which is what prophecy is supposed to accomplish. Just read 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 3. The word that the Lord gave to me is based on two important scriptures that speak about the restoration of troubled nations, one being Israel and the other one being Elam. The Jeremiah prophecy, which if you heard that interview carefully, Marzia alluded to that, the Jeremiah prophecy historically applies to Israel, and we see that. But I believe it can also apply in secondary application to any nation that is seeking after God. While the government of Iran is certainly not seeking after the God of the Bible, the underground of Iran certainly is. I pray that this prophetic word, which I'm about to read, will be a true blessing to all who hear it. Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 11 through 13, "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek with me with all of your heart." Now, the one specific prophecy that pertains to Iran is Jeremiah chapter 49, verses 38 through 39. I'm just going to quote that part. There's more to this prophecy. "And I will set my throne in Elam and destroy their kings and officials, declares the Lord. But in the latter days, I will restore the fortunes of Elam, declares the Lord." Elam in the Hebrew Bible is said to be one of the sons of Shem, the son of Noah. The name Elam was an ancient civilization centered in the Far East and southwest part of modern-day Iran, and this was during the pre-Iranic period of 3200 BC. It goes back that far. Now, this is the word that the Lord gave me for the Iranian people before the completion of this book, Uprising. Waves of my glory and waves of restoration are coming soon to your land, O Iran. I will break into pieces the hardened soils of death and destruction that has plagued you for more than 40 years and will cause the rose of Persia to blossom once again. Refreshment and restoration are coming back to your land. I have not forgotten you. I am breathing new life into your hearts and minds. Very soon the walls of this present evil regime will come crumbling down because of the faithful prayers of my elect. The walls are falling. The spirit is calling. A corrupt leadership will soon be dissolved and a new era of peace and freedom will come into your land like a flood. My word has promised you a hope and a future. I have promised to establish my throne, my kingdom in Elam. The church in Iran is about to rise up and conquer the evil forces that have plagued them for so long. My spirit has given you the victory. Rise up, Iran. You will no longer have to meet secretly. I have given you this land, so rise up and take it. I will summon all the refugees from foreign lands and cause them to return to the new Iran. I am birthing a new Iran. Your hardship and suffering are about to be rewarded. Keep your eyes and hearts focused entirely on me. I am your only hope and reward. I will restore to you everything that the enemy has devoured, and on that day, you will worship me as the true king of Iran. This is a prophetic word the Lord gave me concerning Iran. Now, Heather had one as well. She says, in my time with the Lord, I saw what looked like a neon sign in Persian colors. The sign said, New Iran. As I pressed in further, the Lord began speaking to my spirit and saying, quote, where all the previous revolutions have brought widespread death and grief, there will come a revolution that will bring freedom across the land. I believe that not only freedom will cross the land, but it will also impact every aspect of daily living. The Bible says in John 10:10 that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus says that I have come to give life and give life abundantly. One day, the Lord was talking to me about the word abundance, and he shared with me that a part of that abundance, what he longs to give us and lavish upon us, is freedom. Azidi. There has been soil that has been consistently prayed over and sown into. Christ is king over Iran, and Iran has been prophetically claimed for good things. Behind the scenes, God is creating a new future for her that is more glorious than what you are seeing in this current season. Your nation will arise again. You, the people, will arise from the ashes again with fresh strength. These are important prophetic words that were given to Heather and I, and we put it in our book, Uprising. There is a glorious future for the real people of Iran. This government will crumble one day very soon. But let's keep our eyes focused on Jesus and pray for the Iranian people. God bless you. Have a great week, and I will see you again on Thursday at 9:30 a.m.